The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sebene Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
In this episode, we talk about how to become less reactive and less susceptible to being triggered. Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Welcome, everyone.
Have a seat or keep on walking or keep on driving.
Whatever you are doing.
Fall asleep. We won't be offended.
Thank you for joining us. I feel like I can't hear you.
I can't hear you either. I think I turned this down.
Is that better?
Yeah. Okay.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
There's an echo.
The listener won't hear it, but...
Something is off. Something is off.
Really?
Yeah, because I can't hear myself at all in here.
Oh, here's why. Now can you hear yourself?
Where? Yes.
Okay, sorry. Engineer's
fault. You were trying not to record me. That's what it is.
Engineer's fault. Sorry.
All right. Should we keep all that in?
Let's keep it in.
All right. Anyways, welcome. Thank you for hanging in there for the technical...
excitement.
...difficulties. So, it's kind of interesting to me that every time we're recording the podcast, I am always thinking about food, just like our last.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if it was the last podcast, but
In a recent episode, it was all about tacos
and all different things. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm sitting here totally craving Thai food and also donuts. So I don't know what. But anyways, who knows what we're going to have, but we are going to see.
I'm excited about Thai food or donuts. Either one. It just lights me up.
Yeah, I want both, actually. Anyways, another thing that I was thinking of right before we pressed record, you know, normally we like to have like a little something we want to share. And honestly, sometimes we don't have much for that little space, to fill up that little space. But right before we pressed record, I thought to myself, you know, what's interesting about Portland is we certainly see a lot more lesbians. Wouldn't you say?
Compared to what?
Versus life in California. Versus life in California. Or it could be that the Portland person is not trying to like pass as straight. I don't know what it is. And all of what I'm saying might be making people be angry. I don't know. Might be triggering for some people because maybe I'm not using the right languaging nowadays. But I feel like we see way more lesbians on our errands than when we did in California.
Interesting.
I mean, we were told when our friends were kind of selling Portland to us, they were like, there's lesbians everywhere. So it even came from them, right? Do you remember? And we're like, really?
I had forgotten, but yeah, I kind of vaguely remember. That's fascinating. That's very interesting. Well,
like for instance,
I think there's two factors. Number one is that, you know, as the years have gone by, and we've been in Portland for a number of years now, mm-hmm. as the years have gone by, society has, yes, it's gotten more fractured because of the, you know, one who will not be named. But I think things have gotten more progressive and outspoken, right? Like people are flying their flags more, mm-hmm. just in general. So maybe that has something to do with it.
Well, that's what I mean by their, you know, not just keeping it on the down low.
Oh, okay. On the down low.
Oh my gosh.
And but Portland, for instance, and Portland just in general is a very, very artistic kind of like free-spirited type of culture. So maybe that's what they meant by there's lesbians everywhere.
Mm. Maybe. Maybe. And it makes me think of other funny things about Portland is that the wolf cut is very popular here.
I did not even know. Did you know the name of the wolf cut?
No, I did not know that this certain haircut is called the wolf cut. Now, the wolf cut, so I had to Google it. We have a friend that's like 9 years younger than us, and she mentioned a wolf cut. And so I'm like, a wolf cut? And I was laughing so hard because, I don't know, to me it sounds so funny. Even though in your mind you can imagine what that looks like. Right. So I Googled and I went, oh, that is the traditional Portland citizen haircut.
Really?
Which I will try to describe is there's a lot of layers. There, it's almost mullet. It's like mullet adjacent, I would say. So you have things happening on the sides of your head. Like a mullet.
Okay.
But there's more flippy layers going on. There's bangs, flippy layers, and it looks a little wild, like you would think, like a wolf. So anyways, so a lot of Portlanders sport this wolf cut.
I know you've said that so many times.
I will point it out to you.
Okay, next time we are, you kind of have to shove me in the ribs and be like, and then I'll know to look around me for somebody who is sporting this wolfy haircut.
Because I think you just identify these wolf cut wearers as, oh, that's a Portlander. You know? You're not seeing the wolf cut. You're seeing the Portland person.
Okay.
But
I don't know.
They go together, you know? But going back to the lesbians. So we frequent a plant shop that is actually pretty fabulous. It's called Symbiop. Every time we go there, I'm like, what is this? Or we plan to go there. I'm always asking, what is the place called again? Symbiop. And it's a very small establishment. But there are so many lesbians there. Like, it's almost like we were at a Home Depot. I'm sorry, what?
Well, it's better than Home Depot because it's not like this big-ass chain store.
I'm just talking about the ratio of lesbians.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it literally is like family.
Lesbian owned.
Owned and run.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know if lesbian specific, but
gay,
just
LGBTQ,
you know,
plus
non-binary or whatever they're calling it these days.
Well, that would make sense then.
They're worker owned and yeah. Okay, anything else you wanted to say about that?
Nope, I'm good.
On the way to our Thai food? Okay.
I am good.
Okay, coming up next. Getting to the main topic, reining in.
Those are some hard tears.
Your reactivity. Rein it in.
All right.
Reining in your reactivity. Or my reactivity.
And my reactivity.
Yeah. We're going to use ourselves as examples. I guess we always do that. Almost. Because it's all about us.
So let me ask first, have you ever been in a situation where you were trying to hold it together and you are starting to unravel and there's this greater part
every
of your
day.
There's a greater part of yourself that starts to rise above your physical being and is watching all of this happening and is rooting for you, but sees you unraveling, slowly but surely unraveling. and is almost there going, don't say it. Don't do it. Don't say it. Get up, walk away. Take some deep breaths, walk away.
Oh no, you said it.
This is what we're talking about with self-awareness, some self-control, self-regulation, is tapping into that watcher, tapping into that part of yourself that knows better, the part of yourself that has this greater vantage point, the part of yourself that is your best, most adult and functioning part of you.
You know, that part prior to 2016.
That part of you has the strength to self-regulate, has the strength to help rein in the reaction you might want to just spew out.
Whip like it out darts. like a bullwhip, like Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Wah-ha!
Yes. And I think what might be helpful is...
I was mixing up my superheroes there. That wasn't an Indiana Jones sound, was it?
That sounded like a cowboy.
When are those? I was going to say one of those kung fu movies.
Well, he wasn't a cowboy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it might be helpful to break down kind of the anatomy of a trigger, of when what happens when you are triggered.
Okay.
Because sometimes when we think about being triggered, it's just this, you just, like when you think about the last time you were triggered, I mean, being triggered never feels great. So you just think about that time and you're like, yeah, that wasn't good. Or you feel ashamed, like, oh, I wish I didn't say that. Or it's just a bad feeling altogether. So instead of just hanging out in these large feelings, we can think of it very systematically. So first, there is the trigger. You get triggered.
The inciting incident.
Yes, there is an incident.
Something crappy happens.
Something happens. And from that, a thought is generated.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
and these are not necessarily helpful thoughts.
Let's bring an example. So, like,
okay, so I know one. So, for instance, we can be talking, and I'm often triggered by your tone.
Oh, my damn tone. Yes, it's
and this
that tone
lives across all different topics, but there is a certain tone that I don't like, and it just really
riles me up.
So we can be talking we can be talking about, say, money, right? Which in and of itself can be a trigger.
Oh, yeah.
Finances, right? Yes. But we'll be talking about money and everything seems to be going fine, but then the tone comes out and it's not what you're saying. It's how you're saying it. It's the tone in which you're saying it. And then because of that tone, all of a sudden I'm triggered. And then with that trigger comes the thought, Toast is just trying to control me. So now I have that thought. And then you're trying to control me? Oh, my God. Now I'm getting mad, right? Mm-hmm. So don't control me. Why do you think, you know, and then all these thoughts, these unhelpful thoughts come in. And then that leads to the thoughts will inform the action I take next. So we talked about trigger. We talked about the thoughts that come from the trigger.
Yeah.
Then now we talk about the action that is informed oftentimes by the barrage of thoughts.
That's the reaction.
That's the reaction. Yes. And so, yes, it can be now my tone, right? So in the least productive way, then I'm going to snap back and then have a sassy tone. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you're just, you know, I might say something like, I think you're just trying to control me. And then you'll say, wait, what are you talking about? And that you didn't mean it that way. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, it's your tone.
Yeah, I can tell you did because of your tone.
It's your tone. Yeah. And then now I am speaking in a way that is like a dragon and fiery. And then the consequence, so this is the last part of it, the consequence. So trigger, thought, action / reaction oftentimes, consequence. We don't feel great after an exchange going back and forth of this nature. Because one of the things we have to remember is oftentimes when we're triggered, when it starts to run away from us like this and go down the line of trigger, thought, reaction, consequence, we're already in our reptilian brain. And that's not the part of our brain where we can reason, be rational, and be a fully functioning, healthy adult. Not if we're just operating from that part.
Things have devolved.
So it's very challenging.
Yeah.
So what do we do, right?
So the moral of the lesson is that I need to have more self... No, I do think... Okay. I do think that in this whole topic of reactivity and being able to control yourself and all that kind of thing, my weakness, my opportunity here is to be self-aware enough and think before I speak to modulate or to control and to put some more effort into my tone. To make sure, like, hey, what am I trying to communicate? And don't just blurt things out. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, to try and communicate in a more...
congruent way.
In a careful way, I guess? Congruent or...
I mean, but they do talk about, like, more masculine presenting people have
such
the tone,
as myself.
Have the tone issue, right?
Who's these people that they that talk about this?
It's common. Like when you talk about it's your tone, it's such a joke because it's true.
Okay,
you know, if you think about just heterosexual living,
Jerry Seinfeld, heterosexual living, which we don't
sounds
know
like
about.
A magazine.
Heterosexual living.
It's
modern,
always like the wife,
heterosexual,
the
living.
Wife and the husband, and the husband has the tone, and the wife is like, "Why do you have that tone?"
Right.
I mean, it's common.
It's your tone of voice.
We know that, right? So
Jerry Seinfeld. I wish I could do a Jerry Seinfeld impression because he had
I
that.
Love
right.
Jerry.
It's your tone.
That was very good.
That was close.
That was so good. Okay. Anyways,
thanks.
So
appreciate that.
And then on my side of the fence, I feel like I need to not be so sensitive to your tones and to have more faith that we are on the same side and you're not wanting to hurt me. So, I mean, you know, this whole thing with being triggered is like, it's very loaded, you know, why you're even triggered. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a whole history
in and of itself.
Year of podcasts, but what were you going to say?
It's so neat because like there's opportunity for both of us and for our relationship in many areas, just in this interaction that can literally take, 5 seconds.
Right.
Right. Because there's, I could be more self-aware and try and not, try and have a more pleasant, safe feeling tone to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And if I fail at that, then you have an opportunity to give me a little bit of more benefit of the doubt.
A little room.
Give me a little grace. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we did pick an example of a topic that is tough because when you're talking about money for most people, it is just triggering in general.
Right.
Whether you have a tone or not.
Right.
Whether you're being the kindest you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do we do about it, right? So what do we do about it? So when you think of the trigger, the thought, the reaction, and the consequence, when you think of these blocks, the best thing is to nip it in the bud early. So when you look at those, when you're triggered, you're triggered. When you're in the thought space and these thoughts are coming to you, all these thoughts that aren't very helpful, that is where you want to nip it.
And that's the self-awareness piece.
That is the self-awareness, because if you are aware of your thoughts, if you can actually be in the space of, the space of the watcher, where you're like, you're thinking all these things and it's kind of negative.
And or feeling too, right?
Or
like just feeling like...
like, oh my God, my heart is
getting
is racing.
Hot. Yeah, and getting like hot and sweaty.
But oftentimes I will say the the thought will come first, and then the bodily reaction will follow what thought has happened. It's just sometimes it doesn't feel like that. You just feel your body first.
Yeah. And that's our sensation. Harder.
Right.
That's so our personal experience.
So you might feel it like it just be it's more easy to notice and not ignore versus a thought that's coming into your head. But if you can recognize the thoughts, that's where you really want to nip it. So nipping it would look like doing anything you can to just slow down. Because when you think of experiences where you're triggered, there is an energy that's very fast. Mm-hmm. It happens. It's like now it's running away from you.
Because it is an instinct of
it
sorts.
It is.
And did you know, I think you know this, like brain science has evolved to the point where we know, our science has seen that the thoughts that we have about a decision we make usually come after the decision has actually been made.
Mm.
Like the logical part of our brain, and this makes sense evolutionarily, right? Like the logical part of our brain developed the most recent.
Yes.
And the logical part of our brain exists in order, or partly exists, in order to help us rationalize and support and defend
the decisions
that we made by instinct.
Mm.
So we make up reasons after the fact, you know, but our experience of it, our human experience is that, oh no, I have these reasons and that's why I did certain thing, you know? So it's kind of all mixed up in a way, depending what if we're talking from a scientific point of view or from a lived experience point of view.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the little sidebar, but I know that we're talking about okay, so what can we do to help treat each other and ourselves in a kinder way in regards to reactivity?
So with the very fact that you just stated now, that is the very reason why you want to slow down. You want to slow down. And this is also great advice for when you get that email and you have a reaction, you're triggered. And like there have been times at work where I get an email and I am triggered and oh my God.
You want to just
clap
back.
What? And then I'm there. Typing back. And then I go, slow it down. Because I'm not operating from that brain that Toast just mentioned, right? I'm not operating from that. Mm-hmm. So do I really want to send this email? Mm-hmm. No. So you want to do anything you can to slow down. And it can mean walking away. You know, they also talk about deep breathing, which is absolutely your friend, but deep breathing often isn't enough. I hate to say it, it often isn't enough. You need to walk away from the situation to really use your body, start moving, because a lot of times when you're triggered, you freeze. You feel this immobile sensation, like this, is there such a thing? Immobile sensation? Like you can't feel, you're just frozen. And so you want to get up, get the blood moving, walk away, whether that means if you're in person with someone, just saying, you know what, I need a moment. Just walk away. Go to the bathroom, wash your hands, feel a different sensation. Feel the cold water.
Jump up and down.
You can jump up and down, you know, whatever it is. And that sounds so simple, but really, if you can remember, because we all know when we're triggered. If you pay attention to your thoughts and have that be the opening for you to do differently, walk away.
That's the safest way to defuse the bomb. Because if there's no, if you're not in communication with the person, then it doesn't matter what you say because they can't hear you anyway.
I mean, you do want to, you know, ideally, like if you're physically with someone, you don't want to just walk away, right? You want to just say, I just need a minute. Walk away. Yes. You would. That's ideal.
Yeah.
So
speaking of emails, have you ever done this where it's like, or maybe here's a little piece of advice.
Oh,
okay. If you want to send an email back, right? And you're just like, rah, if you can at least
send an email like this, like that, right, sending, right, or like that, sending like
no.
Okay.
That type of email.
Yeah.
But before you start writing, mm-hmm. just delete any email addresses in the to field. Just leave the to field empty.
I have absolutely done that.
And then just go to town.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Absolutely. That's such a great tip. And then just, because it is a way to release it, walk away. And then when you come back and now you're in that other brain state, uh-huh. you'll go, ooh, yeah. Good.
Wow, I was an asshole.
yeah. So anyways, I hope you find that helpful.
Or hashtag relatable. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening, guys, girls.
Thank you.
Ladies and germs, and everyone else, appreciate you. Rate and review the podcast. Be nice to your friendly neighborhood lesbians down the street, around the corner, up the hill, wherever they may be, wolf cut or not.
Yeah.
Follow us around. We're on Instagram. Our handle is Sienna and Toast. And as always, we end this episode by encouraging you to live your love story.
Since 1977, Omega Institute in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley has hosted some of the best spiritual teachers and social visionaries, sharing their messages of hope, healing, and transformation. On the Dropping In podcast, hosted by Emmy Award-winning producer Callie Alpert, you will enjoy in-depth interviews and conversations with people like Pema Chodron, Jack Kornfield, Jon Kabat-Zinn, and many others on the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Also, check out the video series on Spotify.